Thank you for downloading from Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about Ravi Zacharias and the team at www.rzim.org.
Prison. Prison. What a horrible life in prison. Have you ever thought of sin as a prison within you that's locked you up?
A lot of people want to be free, in theory, but sometimes it's hard to give up the chains that bind us. But how can God use us if we're slaves to sin? Ravi Zacharias explores that question today on Just Thinking. If you've ever watched TV, you know commercials hold the secret to a good life. Well, the right drink, the right car, the right clothes, and you're on your way to a happy life. But what if the things the world says set you free just create a really fun prison? What if sacrificing the good life brings a better one? Here's Ravi with more.
As Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, took all of the comforts and all of the carefreeness and wants to move on where God wants him. Secondly, he left. He left and moved on because his calling called him, his community needed him, and his message more than anything else compelled him. When I look at people like Hayden and look at people like Thomas Wedge and I look at my own life when I was 17 years old, so messed up, I think to myself, how does one take this message and communicate it to the world so that the world will understand what hope and beauty there comes in this salvation? I want to give you and paint for you two pictures. The first picture I want to paint for you is this. A week ago, a very tragic story in the life of somebody all of our staff knows. In what he promises and claims is a totally false accusation, and we believe him. He took two lie detector tests, passed both of them, but the prosecution would not allow this to be admitted. They offered him a plea bargain. He said, not on your life. I have not done what you're accusing me of. The man is 71 years old. But through all of the machinations of the system, he is given 35 or a 45-year-old sentence to go to jail. He's 71. So his wife is shattered. Our staff knows her. Many of our staff were actually, I was on the road, they were attending the trial and saw some of the farcical nature of it all. And all of a sudden, he moves from a dignified businessman in a suit to overalls with chains around his wrists and his ankles, and he's not even given a chance to say goodbye to his wife, and he's taken out. And his wife is shouted down not to even make a move. None of them are allowed to visit him. He's in a maximum security prison, making an appeal. Being a minister, they allowed me to go in. So his wife and Margie and I drive this distance to a prison in another city in Georgia. They were told they may not even be able to park there, but they gave them permission to park. I walk in, they check my papers, they check everything, and they bring me in. She takes all my, they felt they didn't allow me, I was just allowed to take my Bible. And all of a sudden, the steel door shuts behind me, and I'm alone. I walk about the length of this hall here, all alone. And I come up to the end where they told me there was seemed to be a staircase. It was so hidden I was not sure I'd find it. I found it. Got me up. There was a guard waiting for me there. He takes me to another area where a steel door opens and puts me in, and that steel door shuts. And now I'm between two shut steel doors. And that second steel door takes about 30 seconds to open up. And I'm standing here thinking, I'm a visitor and I'm terrified. That second door opens and I move past it. Then I go to another crossover, a final door, where there are two guards standing, and I'm taken in. They take me into a corridor. I wait about 10 minutes, and he comes in his prison outfit, a shadow of himself, lost 10 pounds in the last 2 weeks. He says, we're given food only twice on the weekend. I'm given some slop at about 3 to 5 in the morning. I can't sit. There's no chairs. I have to sit in my bunk. And because it's so low above the one above me, I can't even sit up all day. I sleep about 14 hours a day. I said, have you been out? He said, once in 2 weeks. And his head is shaven and he's sitting there looking almost zombie-like. And I read to him from the Bible, ask him some questions. I said, can I pray with you? And he puts his hand on the glass. And I put my hand on the glass and pray with him. And I walked out shaken up. I finally make my way back. I breathe a sigh of relief. I actually just stood there and stood in front of that sign to read the name of the warden and so on to see if I can make some calls, which we did, so on and so forth. Prison. Prison. What a horrible life in prison. Have you ever thought of sin as a prison within you that's locked you up? Have you ever thought of that? How it binds you. As Edward Hubble Chapin said years ago, the worst effect of sin is manifested not in pain or suffering or in bodily defacement, but in the discrowned faculties, the unworthy loves, the low ideals, the brutalized and the enslaved spirit. The worst effect of sin is not in pain or suffering or bodily defacement, but in the discrowned faculties, the low ideals, the brutalized and the enslaved spirit. That's what sin is all about. That's what we see happening in our culture today. Trapped in a prison of rebellion against God. When you walk out of a physical prison, you say, what an incredible relief. How terrible it is in that physical prison to be trapped in there. And I say to you, how much worse it is to realize when sin itself is holding on to your soul. One guy from New York, after a set of meetings we had, one of you here had organized, and he wrote to me from New York. He said, I'm just struggling to the temptation to take my life. Please help me. Please help me. And he sends that to the general delivery, and I got on one night and I called him. This happened a few months ago. He's now attending a Bible study and he writes to me and he says, I'm in prayer meeting regularly. How dramatically my life has changed. The rescue from the prison of sin. So I want to ask you tonight, is it possible in an audience like this, some of you are in those chains? Or you say to yourself, help me, help me. It can very easily happen. And so, like Moses the deliverer, he refuses. He leaves because he saw the bondage of his people. The deliverer moves forward. And where does he stand? He stands in front of the burning bush. And here's where the challenge really comes. First he says, who am I that you should send me? Then he says, who are you to send me? And then he says, what if they don't believe who you are, who I am? And finally he says, Lord, I can't speak. You know, it's an incredible thing to come to the realization that God desires to use you. That God desires to use you. God had a king-size battle on his hands with all of the resistance, and finally God got so upset with this man that he says to him, look, if you don't want to do it, I'm going to have somebody come alongside you, and I'll have Aaron come and help you along. There's a healthy side to it when we believe we really are not qualified. It keeps you humble. But there's an unhealthy side to it when you're stubborn and say, I really don't want to do it. When I look at the way this country is going, after living here 40 years, it's going to take a deliverer like Moses, but it's going to take deliverers in individual offices and in individual places where they will shine the light of Jesus Christ in that arena. When I was a new Christian, a Canadian gentleman by the name of John Tabe, lives in Calgary. He was Youth for Christ director at that time. And on the last day that he's in India, imagine after years and years of living in the country and you and your wife and children are leaving, he phones me and said, I want to take you out. I said, Mr. Tabe, you're leaving the day after. He said, I want to take you out. So John Tabe comes, picks me up in his car, and I don't know what he wanted to talk to me about. Took me out for a nice tandoori chicken dinner. And we were sitting across enjoying it, and he leans forward, this big, tall man, long, bony arms. And I was leaning forward, listening to him like this, and he grabs both of my wrists, and here's what he says to me. He says, Ravi, I want to leave something with you. You are going to go only one of two ways. You will either be the biggest failure you could possibly be, or God is going to use you in ways that you've never dreamed of. He said, that's why I'm taking you out for dinner tonight. You're going to go one of two ways. He knew my personality. I was sort of the guy who would either go all in or just say, it's not going to work for me. And every time we are anywhere in the vicinity of Calgary, last time we were there, now he's in his senior years, Margie and I were there, and John Tabe came to see me, and he just sits and stares at me. Just stares at me. I know what he's saying with his eyes. If you believe this gospel of the kingdom that delivers you from bondage within you and breaking the stranglehold of sin so that you know this is the temple of the living God and you know you honor him and you know he comes to dwell within you. If he changes your hungers, changes your desires, changes your longings and puts his word into you like a fire within your bones. And that's what we are meant to carry to a world that is despicably lost and hopeless. And I just want to say to you that when you stand before the Word of God and the burning bush that he calls you and me to, let's not fight him. Let's not say, I can't do this, I can't do that. Let's believe what he is actually saying, that he has called you and me into his service, that he's called you and me into his service. Who am I? An instrument. Who are you? The I am. Who are they? They will see that I will use you, and he leads you on.
Who am I? Who are you? Who are they? Three powerful questions for us to consider as we close today's program. To order Ravi's complete message, please call 1-800-448-6766 and ask for A Deliverer Is Born. Again, the number is 1-800-448-6766. You can also order online at www.rzim.org. To send us any questions or comments or to make a donation by mail, write to RZIM, Post Office Box 921-939, Norcross, Georgia, 30010. Just Thinking is a listener-supported radio presentation of Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. Tomorrow, Ravi shares some final thoughts. Until then, keep thinking.